with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
The cholesterol myth, that's going to be what we're going to discuss here in this next segment. My guest is Dr. Stephen Sinatra. He's a board-certified cardiologist and a prominent expert in natural cardiology, author of several books, but today we're going to focus on one he co-authored called The Cholesterol Myth. Dr. Sinatra, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Oh, it's great to be here, Dr. Smith.
So let's just get right into this. You know, when I was in medical school in the mid-90s, we were told LDL cholesterol was the risk factor and that statins were going to cure everything. Well, that was a while ago, and we haven't cured really anything, have we, Dr. Sinatra? So is cholesterol really a heart disease risk factor?
Well, you know, it's found at the scene of the crime, Mike, but I can tell you this, it's not the perpetrator. I mean, if we look at the causes of inflammation in the body, certainly sugar is way at the top, and the body needs cholesterol. I mean, the body needs cholesterol for, you know, bile salts, for digestion, for lubrication of the skin. It converts vitamin D with sunlight, for neurotransmitters, for sex hormones. So we need cholesterol. Now, when cholesterol becomes oxidized, let's say from too many trans fats, or let's say omega-6 inflammatory oils, or cigarette smoking, or let's say heavy metals like mercury. I mean, the list goes on and on. But if we have oxidized LDL, then oxidized LDL could set a cascade for an inflammatory process. But again, that's a lot of moving parts. I mean, we really have to look at cholesterol as not the enemy. We have to look at cholesterol as a very natural component in the body, and it's used in the healing process as well. And that's when we can get into trouble, when it's used in the healing process and if it's oxidized at the same time.
Does it worry you, Dr. Sinatra, that some patients out there, you know, are on high-dose statins, you know, maybe they're moderate risk, maybe even high risk for heart disease, and they're on these high-dose statins, their LDL cholesterols are less than 70. Does that worry you?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, I don't like to see LDLs less than 100. It really bothers me. I mean, I think when LDLs drop below 100, you can get a problem with cerebral vascular function, you know, memory deficits, you know, things like that. And when you were talking about being a medical student in the 90s, I was chief of cardiology at my institution in Connecticut. And I got to tell you, I was recommending statin drugs all the time. I mean, I really bought the myth. I believed in it and until I did my own angiograms and I really saw what was happening in the front lines. I started to question it.
Yeah, well, you know, Dr. Sinatra, I trained at the University of Texas in Dallas, where Brown and Goldstein had their labs. And so, you know, we were inundated with cholesterol and statin drug reps. And I mean, that was a major part of our education.
Right.
And I left medical school thinking that, oh, yeah, we got this under control. Statins are the way to go. And that's obviously not the case. Now, you talk, I went on your website and you talk a lot about cholesterol testing, but doing more modern testing, or what we might call advanced cholesterol testing. Can you explain that?
Sure. I mean, the old dinosaur for cholesterol analysis was an HDL, an LDL, a total cholesterol. Maybe some of the doctors got a triglyceride and a blood sugar. I mean, that was okay. But today, now, we can dissect different forms of HDL. In fact, when HDLs are like 90 or over 100, a proportion of that can be dysfunctional. That's sort of newer information.
Right.
The LDL can also be dissected into particle size and number of particles. And what we know now is it's the smaller particles, the type B particles, that are more inflammatory than the fluffier type A particles. And if you have a lot of small B particles, these are more inflammatory. And the worst particle, which is really the cholesterol truth, is the LP little a particle. That is a very, very small cholesterol particle. It has what we call a disulfide bridge. It's very, very inflammatory, and it causes blood clotting at the same time. But that is usually a trait that's inherited as a genetic variant in families. Now, you know, the LP little a situation is real, and it does create a situation of inflammation in the body. And when I've measured it in my patients for years, and when my patients did have high Lp(a), I tried to neutralize it, or at least neutralize the toxic effects, the blood clotting and the inflammatory effects. But there's a lot of cholesterols out there that are harmless. And the problem is if a patient goes to a doctor and gets a total cholesterol and it's elevated and the LDL is elevated and they go to a statin drug, I mean, to me, that's very, very, very poor medicine. I don't like to treat numbers and people. I like to treat the patients. So you have to look at every patient you treat.
Well, you know, if the advanced cholesterol tests are out there and they give us so much more information, and obviously they're going to help us to more appropriately categorize patients, right, as low risk, moderate risk, high risk.
Correct.
Why aren't more doctors doing this then? I mean, what's the reluctancy in using these more advanced tests?
You know, probably it's medical education. I mean, I was a director of medical education at my institution for 19 years, and medical education is a rough thing for a physician. You got to get them to those meetings and really educate them. Some of these tests aren't covered by insurance, for example, and that's a deterrent. But if you look at the VAP test that's been around for, like a decade, or the LPP test and the Berkeley Heart test and the NMR, now there's more and more of the cholesterol fractionizations that are being brought to the table that are really good. I mean they're excellent. And we're looking at so many more inflammatory markers when we dissect this cholesterol. So it's really important for physicians to get on board with this. Because why put a patient on a statin drug that can have enormous risks if you don't have all the information?
Yeah. So it's interesting. When you really look at the real culprits here of driving atherosclerosis, arterial disease, you really go back to the underlying cause here is of being inflammation and the sugars that we put into our systems, the processed foods that allow some of these fats to get oxidized. But it's all really just playing a role in this inflammatory process, right?
Correct. I mean, insulin is the number one driving force for disturbing the endothelium, or the delicate little membrane of our blood vessels. And it's the most endothelial-friendly hormone around, surges of insulin. And the problem with our society is we're a sugar society. We're breads, pastas, bagels, you know, cookies, crackers, sodas. I mean, they bring nothing to the table, you know, and it's just pure sugar. So when people eat a lot of sugar, they're doing a lot of inflammatory damage to the body. It's not cholesterol, it's the enemy. And that's the problem. I mean, cholesterol is protective. I mean, even, you know, I come from Connecticut, and I was involved with a Framingham study years ago when I was even in my training as a fellow in cardiology. We're quoting it all the time. But now, after 50 years of Framingham, we're seeing that the patients with the highest cholesterols are living the longest.
I mean,
that's incredible. That's a paradox. And that same data was replicated in Italy as well. People with very high cholesterols are living longer. So we have to look at cholesterol as not the enemy as it was once, you know, thought of the enemy. And saturated fat, by the way, is the least prone to oxidation. So coconut oil, organic butters.
Good stuff, right?
It's good stuff. It's good stuff, yes.
Yeah. We only have about a minute or so left. You do talk about some ratios that are important to look at also. So we talked about Lp(a). That's a key one, and I want my listeners to know.
Lower the better. Lower the better, yes.
Yeah, and that's not part of the regular cholesterol workup. You have to specifically ask for that. That's not part of the cholesterol workup that you're going to get. What about the a couple of ratios that you look at that you think
I really like. I really like, and even the older breed of doctors and the newer breed of doctors like this, I like the triglyceride-HDL ratio. In other words, if you have triglycerides of, let's say, 300 and an HDL of 30, your ratio is 10. That is very, very dangerous. Very, very highly inflammatory. That's like metabolic syndrome situation, insulin resistance. Yeah. Now, suppose you have a triglycerides of 100 and an HDL of 50. Well, then you're down to 2. That's really good. Right. I love to see ratios left less than 2. Any ratio left than 2, I breathe easy when I see my patients, because I know that.
And let me repeat that. That's the triglyceride HDL ratio. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and then we're going to get into some of your favorite foods and supplements. If you want to learn more, you can go to drsinatra.com. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. Stay well.